Jesus, we give thanks for this morning, for everyone who has come together, and their desire is to meet with you, to spend time with you, Lord, and we pray that in this time that you would come and encounter us, Lord, that our hearts could align, our hearts could be surrendered and submitted to you, Lord. And we just declare that we need you, Lord. So speak to us through the word, the scripture this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we're going to read from Proverbs chapter 22. We're going through verses 6 to 10. Oh, sorry, 11 to 15. 11 to 15. Okay, verses 11. He who loves purity of heart and whose speech is gracious, the king is his friend. The eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge, but he overthrows the words of the treacherous man. The sluggard says, "There is a lion outside. I will be killed in the street." The mouth of an adulteress is a deep pit. He who is cursed of the Lord will fall into it. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it from him. Amen. Okay, so verse 11, it says, "He who loves purity of heart and whose speech is gracious, the king is his friend." So, two things to kind of receive that favor, in this case, context a king, but this would apply to, you know, leaders, people who manage you. It says the two things is purity of heart. Psalm 24:4 says, "He who has a clean hand and a pure heart." And then it says, it's somebody who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood and has not sworn deceitfully. In other words, it's someone who is honest and real. Someone who is transparent. What you see is what you get. And along with that, and I guess along with that, it says, is someone whose speech is gracious. So what is gracious speech, right? I think of what is the opposite. What is ungracious speech? Ungracious speech, I think of someone, it's speech that is negative, gossip, slander. You're always thinking the worst of the situation instead of the best of the situation. You're always thinking, reflected in, I guess, especially if you're gossiping or slandering, you're also thinking the worst of people. And so these two things, it brings favor. It says, then you'll be a friend to the king, because these two qualities, if this is how you live, it brings about trust, right? And as someone who is in charge, and of course you're always looking for help, you're looking for other people to raise up, what qualities are you looking for? Right? It's somebody, ultimately. Of course, there's capability, but really, it comes down to trust. And I just want to highlight one thing here. It says, and whose speech is gracious. I think sometimes, as Christians, we think, if you don't have something nice to say, don't say it at all, which is true. But in order to get that favor, you need to have speech. In other words, you have to talk. It's not enough to just be faithful, put your head down, don't say anything, and do your work. Remember, you're not called to just do the work. That's part of it. Part of it is to do relationship. And so to achieve that and get this favor from, it's not just to live righteously, it's to speak. so that like mean God can see you're living righteously and you're a good person, but for your boss, for the king to see, they need to hear you speak. And so you need to speak up, speak out, right? And the key is, I mean, you shouldn't just do it for the sake of doing it, but it should also, this reminder, the root of it is that you want to be, you know, a good person, right? Not just so you can get the favor of the king, okay? And then verse 12, it says, the eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge. And so when we're talking about knowledge, we're really talking about knowledge and wisdom. And so he preserves knowledge. It means those who are living according to knowledge, living according to wisdom, God's ways. It says, the Lord sees it and he will preserve it. And so, if you're walking in the Lord, walking along according to his ways, he's going to preserve it. In other words, he's going to protect you. He's going to provide for you so that you can be preserved. And then he says, but he overthrows the words of the treacherous man. And so you can see there is justice, right? If you live according to God's ways, he's going to preserve you. If you live according to your own ways, against the word of God, against wisdom, it says he will overthrow you. In other words, you won't receive his favor. Verse 13, it says, the sluggard says, there is a lion outside. I will be killed in the streets. This is, when you say sluggard, this is a lazy person. And a lazy person is really creative. They have incredible dreams. And in their dreams, in this case, their justification to not do work is there's a lion outside. It just shows how extreme that we will go to make excuses. And not only is there a lion, it says, I will be killed in the streets. Are there lions? I mean, there might be a lion, right, if you're living in a jungle. If you're going camping, there might be bears. But are there lions in the street? No. And this is the mindset of a lazy person. You can always think of a reason, an excuse to not do something. And so we need to be, I know we're thinking of like, right now you're probably thinking of other people, those lazy people, but it's ourselves. When we're tired, you know, when we're inconvenienced, we come up with excuses. But we need to not have that mindset. Instead of thinking of reasons why not to do it, think of how to do it. I think of King David as a shepherd. A lion, not an excuse, a lion actually took his sheep. And did he say, oh well, it's a lion? No. He pursued the lion, overcame the lion, killed the lion to rescue his sheep. So that's the mindset we need to have. Even if it's a lion, how to overcome. Verse 14, it says, the mouth of an adulteress is a deep pit. Adulteress is a deep pit. And so the picture is someone who's tempting you. And the effect of the circumstances is a deep pit. A deep pit is a trap, right? In other words, it's really easy, and that's the purpose of a trap, easy to fall in, really hard, if not impossible, to fall out, to climb out, to get out. And so that's really a warning to be wise. It says, he who is cursed of the Lord will fall into it. So in other words, if you're not living in wisdom, you're not following the Lord in His ways, here it says you will fall into it. It's inevitable. So you need to be wise to not fall in traps. Even as a staff, as pastors, we actually have things in place to make sure we don't fall. And I think oftentimes we might look at our heart. We put too much focus on our heart. Like, my heart is pure. And so, you know, I don't feel that way towards, you know, this person. So, you know, my relationship and dialogue, it's pure. Don't judge it based on what's happening, but my heart is pure. Well, we know our heart is also, and our feelings can also change. And so even as pastors, we have something in place where a pastor, male pastor, you can never do a one-on-one with the opposite sex, a girl. Ever. The only situation where you're allowed to do a one-on-one is in a public setting. And so we've just put that in place just so we don't fall into a trap. Right? Right now we might be fine, but who knows, right? So we need to be wise. And then in verse 15, it says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of the Lord. In heart of a child, sorry. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. And this is just to point out that children, I know we think they're so pure, and there is a certain purity with children, right? In the way they let the childlikeness, their dependence on the parents, and thus, hopefully, dependence on God. But they are inherently sinful, not because they're children, but we all are because of Adam and Eve, because of their disobedience. Sin has entered our heart. And if you're a parent, you see that. Well, I see that in my children, right? They inherently just sometimes want to do naughty things. Even my daughter, who's like an angel 99% of the time. Yesterday I hear this yelling. They're in the bathroom and they're both brushing their teeth. And we have this shower that has like a glass door, so it's enclosed. And Danielle is holding the door shut and not letting her brother out, trapping him. And he's like, let me out. And of course I'm like, Danielle, what are you doing? That's so mean. Why would you trap your little brother? And she's smiling. I mean, that was just play, but if it keeps going, it could become something else. Right? And we have to recognize, because the solution to verse 15, it says, the rod of discipline will remove it far from them. The measure to respond to their foolishness is discipline. And in verse 6, shared last week, it says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. So it's the responsibility of a parent, leader, to train up. But when things don't go right, you got to bring discipline. It's not enough, I want to tell you, to be supportive, to be loving, to be there for them. What's required is discipline. Discipline, it's basically enforcing things, right? Discipline is, hey, you need to sit down, you know, do your homework right now for the next, and be disciplined. Don't get out of your seat. Or if something bad happens, if they disobey, it's bringing consequences. It's discipline. I read this quote from Will Smith, and he talks about how he raised his children. I'm not going to comment on his children. Probably, anyway, He said he regretted the way he raised his children. And he said it's not for everyone. In fact, I think he basically acknowledged, oh, I don't know if it was the right way. His approach to parenting was, he told his children, as long as you're being honest with us, what doesn't matter what you said or what you did, as long as you're being honest, there will never be any consequences. And he said, while they had a really good means of communication in that way, but obviously the kids just did whatever they wanted. And there was no basically discipline brought, right? Obviously, we want to have a great relationship and communication with our children, our parents. But it should be despite there being discipline. And that's just the reality of the world, right? Even with God, I mean, with God, he knows everything anyway. But the reality is, yeah, we have to be honest, transparent, real with the people around us. And if we make mistakes, we have to own those mistakes and live also with the consequences of those mistakes. And it's not always easy, right? But that's how we're to live. Invite the worship. Nikki is going to lead us during this time. I just felt led to just back to the verse. Verse 11, talking about having a pure heart, righteous, pure heart, and having gracious speech. And let's just take a minute and let's just go before the Lord. How can we, in our workplace, you know, in our environment, just reflect our true selves? Like, we can just be ourselves, and ourselves that is guided by the Holy Spirit, guided by wisdom, in the way we conduct ourselves, in the way we communicate, and especially in the area of communication, that we can, through that communication, allowing our bosses or whoever to just know the real us and be able to build trust and favor. So let's just take a minute just to surrender that to the Lord and have him guide us just to be free, to be a light, to be the salt in our workplace.
Savior, I know for sure all of my days are held in your hands, crafted into your perfect plan. You gently call me into your presence, guiding me by your Holy Spirit. Teach me, dear Lord, live on my life through your eyes. I'm captured by your holy calling. Set me apart, I know you're drawing me to yourself. Lead me, Lord, I give my life to the porter's hand. You call me, guide me, lead me, walk beside me. I give my life to the porter's hand. I'm captured by your holy calling. Set me apart. I know you're drawing me to yourself. Lead me, Lord, I pray. Take me, mold me, use me, fill me. I give my life to the porter's hand.
Nikki, let's gather at the front so we can come together to pray. Please grab a chair on your way. All right, let's pray for Hazel, and let's also pray for Addie. Hazel, she should be back home now. We haven't received any updates since then, so I guess no update is good as well, so at least it hasn't gotten worse. But let's continue to pray for her complete, full healing. Also pray for Addie, that's Marcus's and Audrey's daughter. Let's pray for her kidneys, that they could be healed, so it would not require daily dialysis machine. And so let's pray for her healing as well. Let's pray.